Started now. Okay. All right. We praise you, Lord, for an awesome time tonight. We thank you, Father, for this great and wonderful day we had today, too. We praise you, Lord, that all of our prayers that have been said today are answered. We know we've got a straight pipeline straight to the throne, and we praise you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that every prayer has been answered. Not only once, but it's solidified in the throne of God. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody got a testimony or a prayer request? All right, Missy.
Well, I went riding my bike today, and right after I got started, I asked the Lord, I said, give me an opportunity to share you, minister, or whatever, you know. So I was riding along, and I was close to getting to the point where I turned back around and go back. Anyway, I come up on this lady. She was walking in the same direction I was riding in, and she didn't have any hair. And, you know, I could see from a distance, you know, and I thought it was a lady, you know, but then I got up there close. I was sure it was. And what popped into my head right away was cancer, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I wasn't absolutely sure if I should stop, you know, and I wasn't, you know,
Thank you.
absolutely sure that, you know, that was the case, you know. So I just went on, you know, a little bit further and turned around. I was praying and you know, thinking that it was cancer, you know, praying against it for her healing and stuff or whatever. And I said, Lord, if I'm supposed to stop and talk to her, let her still be there. Which I figured she would be because there's not really any place along there unless she lives in a house there close by, you know, for her to get off the trail. But anyway, so she was still there, and so I pulled over and I said to her, I felt to stop and ask you if you have anything you would like me to pray for you about. And she said, absolutely. And I said, well, what's that? And she said, my cancer. I said, it's not yours. But anyway, so I asked her name, and her name is Teresa. Trying to remember, because I was writing all this down and I was like forgetting all these little tidbits. I'm like, Lord, help me to get this all this in line, you know. But anyway, so I asked her I one point there early on, I asked her if she knew Jesus, and she says yes. And I said, are you born again, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit? She goes, yes. And so and I said, so she said that she's been in a battle with cancer for 7 years, and I said, not anymore. Anyway, so I prayed for her, you know, and declared health and healing from the top of her head to the tips of her toes, and commanded the cancer to go, and she'd be healed any damage that it caused, and so on and so forth. And I said, now, you go and you confess that you're healed to anybody coming and going, you know, and it doesn't, you know, no matter what you see, feel, or hear. And she said, okay. And that basically was the gist of it, I think. Actually, when I first came up on her, you know, and asked her, you know, told her that I felt to stop and ask if she had anything she needed prayer for, she was talking to somebody. She had earbuds. She says, I'll call you back in a little bit. Anyway, and so I just want you all to agree with me that Teresa is healed, that she's delivered from this cancer. And I thank you, Lord, for giving her bold faith to confess that
Is
and say,
mom's bed
wait,
made?
I'm doing it now
Oh,
in
okay.
the name of Jesus. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that Teresa is healed. And if I come across her path, there's no doubt that she's going to have a good report, Lord. If I come across her path again, Lord, she is healed. Praise you, Lord, for victory and defeat of that spirit of cancer. She is healed and delivered. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all opportunities to
Amen.
exercise faith, to get practice in ministering to people, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. For that's only like I think maybe the second time, like right on the trail that I ever had got the opportunity to do that. But it's good practice, Lord, and
Amen.
I thank you, Lord, that each time any of us do that, Lord, we're going to get better at it, and we're going to be more bold and more full of faith, and be humble, and just that they would that people would see you in us. They wouldn't see us, Lord. That they would see you, Lord, and your love and your care for them, and know, that they are healed, or that you care about whatever it is they're going through, and that you're with them and you won't forsake them, Lord. Just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Sounds good. Okay, anyone else? I've got a testimony. The other day, 2 or 3 days ago, my daughter's dog, that little mutt right there, got out of a jail and chewed out my Sony 1000s. And my headphones, I loved them headphones. They was great headphones. And today I got a package in the mail with some iPod 3s. Yeah. Thank you, Pat. You're an awesome guy. I appreciate it so much. I just got to learn how to use them. I don't know how to operate them yet. I've been working all day and I hadn't had a chance to really find out how to do it, but I understand those are great earbuds. So thank you so much. You were listening to God because I sure needed it. Yeah. All right. Anyone else? I was so surprised. I said, "Golly, this is awesome! You're listening to God. I know what you're doing." All right. Anyone else?
Actually, I was listening to you on Tuesday's meeting. I couldn't hear you.
Got tired of listening to nothing, huh? Oh my. Okay. Well, the truth's out. Oh my, I'm sorry about that. Go ahead, Missy.
Oh, he must, I must decrease and he must increase a little bit of self and a little bit of self, a little bit of Jesus. Praise
Yeah.
the Lord.
Well, I was pleasantly surprised, pleased. Yeah, I have to try them out tomorrow. I'm trying to get some things ready here. Okay, anyone else? Boy, the weather here today was beautiful. Absolutely wonderful. Was good. It was probably 78, 77, 78, somewhere along in there all day. Blue skies. The night before last, we got rain and hail. But today it was real pretty. What are you doing, Missy?
I
Playing
wonder how
fingers?
big the tail was.
Huh?
I want to know how big the hail was.
I don't know. Michelle told me about it. I didn't even know it hailed. I didn't even know it rained. I heard the thundering, but that's about it. Now I can wear these iPods and figure it all out. Okay. Anyone else? How you doing, Ben? You got a haircut, bud. Yeah.
I'm doing good.
Yeah, you look spiffy.
Thank you, sir.
All right. All right, let's see. Who is that down at the bottom? Is that Joe? Yep, that's Joe. Joe Britt. Hi, buddy.
Morning, Michael.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing great. Doing good. I think this one's got a microphone on it. Yeah, it's got a microphone on it. Y'all should be able to hear me real good on this. This is just a regular pair that came with an iPhone that I had, that iPhone here. I like the iPhones and I like the iPads. I just don't like the computers. I've had a couple of those and I didn't, I'd rather have the HP. It's just me. David too now. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share tonight? What's God showing you? Time is near. It's time is here. Time is on us. It's on us, folks. That looks like to me. Okay, go ahead. Somebody raise their hands. Yeah, Pat. Go ahead, brother.
So I was when I was driving to work today, I usually listen to, a message or a teaching or something like that. So actually, I'm working about an hour and a half away from home, and which gives me a lot of time to listen as I go through. But this morning, I woke up and this verse was on my mind. Hebrews 2:14 and 15. I'm just going to read it. Since then, the children are sharers in flesh and blood. He also himself, in like manner, partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And 15, and might deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. And what I've been kind of learning, pondering, thinking, praying about certain things related to authority and power. And one of which, I think I shared it a few weeks ago, and that was that the devil in the garden, when he tempted Eve and Eve fell and Adam, and they brought sin into the world. I always thought at that time that, Adam gave up his authority over the earth, and now the devil had that the authority over the earth. But I've since come to believe that No, he didn't give authority over to the devil, but he, in a sense, gave the devil permission to influence. Now, let me just say this, I'm no theologian. I'm just listening, thinking, reading, and pondering these things through. So I could very well be wrong in what I'm saying. I don't believe I am, but the devil, what I've come to understand is that the devil gained influence, gained permission, more or less by their disobedience to God to influence their lives, and in so doing brought sin and into the world. And so, because authority, when God created man and he gave him dominion over the earth to rule and exercise that authority over the earth. And so in that, so what because of that, or not because of that. So I was reading that scripture today, and I know that, and I stopped right there at that Jesus through death, that he might bring to naught, he might neutralize basically him that had the power of death. And if you look up that word power, there's a couple words, or maybe more, a couple words that is translated into English, and especially in the King James, the translators used power interchangeably with authority, and of course, both words mean something totally different, but this word here for power is not the normal word power, which is in the Greek is called dynamis. And when I read that, I automatically thought that, dynamis, it helps me to remember the difference between power and authority, because power, dunamis, it reminds me of dynamite, or an explosive, powerful, potential, explosive power. And authority is the word exousia, which reminds me of exercise or exercising authority. But this word that is the word power is not the word dunamis. It's the word kratos, I think, or something like that. Not that I'm trying to, teach anybody Greek or anything like this. I just look up the definitions. But it is it, the in the verses that I've read throughout throughout the New Testament, this word kratos, which is translated power, has the idea of force, or I'm just going to say force. Strength, force. And there was, and so the devil, up until the time of Christ, exercised a force, or I'm going to say an intimidation or a overwhelming influence in people's lives that were through the fear of death forced into submission to his will. So I'll just leave it at that. As I was driving to work, I got to thinking the Lord kind of gave me a mind, a picture of authority, power, dunamis power, and kratos, power or force. And I think I mentioned this, talked about this before, this example, but the example is on your house, you have power lines that are coming in from the, from the power pole. Those power lines are coming into your house, into your, say, your main distribution panel. And then off of that panel, you qualified electricians, I will say, run circuits that go through the house, say lighting circuits. And that circuit consists of a light switch and light fixtures, let's just say three or four light fixtures in your house. And so when you that power coming in from the power pole, for the most part, represents an unlimited potential of power that can potentially do anything. For all intents and purposes, that those two power three power lines that are coming in to your house run through transformers and whatever and go directly to the generation system, whether you have a nuclear power plant next, around, or you have coal-fired plants or whatever it would be that is generating a massive amount of power, and it's all available right there at your house. Right, and if you were able to right now run all the power refrigerators and all the things that you need for your house there, but potentially if you could run wires from your main panel where that power source is coming in, everyone of the houses on your block to every one of the houses on your block, they could all be powered as well from that power pole. And in fact they are. It's a somewhat unlimited amount of power available. But you and so that is I'm going to call dunamis, because it is, quite frankly, if you were to reach up there and grab that those power lines, you would find just how explosive dunamis that would be, because you holding on to those would become a crispy critter in a short amount of time. Because of the explosive amount of power available there. But you have in your house, you have lights, let's just say, and that light fixture has been designed to produce light, but requires a certain amount of current or power going through it. And I'm getting bogged down here, I think, but in order to, and so when you want to have that light on, you simply go over to the light switch and turn on the light switch, push, turn on the switch, and it creates light. You, and quite frankly, if you never turned on that light, if you never physically went over and flipped that switch, that light would never come on, even though all the potential, it was created and designed to shine and illuminate the room. If you don't go over there and physically turn that switch on, it will never light. And believe it or not, when you turn that light switch on, that light is connected to the explosive, massive potential of power that's coming from the nuclear power plant down the street. So you might say, well, why doesn't that explosive power blow that light out, or just, blow it out or whatever? Because there's so much power there. Because the light fixture is designed with resistance in it that resists all of that power, uses what it needs, what it requires. What you can look at that and you can say the work that is being done by that light is determined in itself by re its own inner resistance. In other words, what it needs is determined by its resistance, and that resistance pulls what it needs from the nuclear power plant. I guess the point being is, if we were to view if we were to connect up 50 houses, or let's just say, do I have the ability to shine? Do I have the ability to make that light up there illuminate? And do I have the ability to send electrons through those wires and stimulate that filament or whatever and make it shine? No, I don't. The only thing I have the power to do, the authority to do, is to flip that switch. The nuclear power plant provides everything necessary to light that light. The light, or the work being required in by that fixture in order to produce that light, it's been designed into it. That resistance determines how much it power it needs to take from the power plant. And it does all that work is done without me, except only one thing. I Flipping that switch. And as I was thinking about that on the way to work, I realized, or just think, I was applying that to what Jesus has told us about, say, healing. And he said, we as believers, in obedience to God, shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so I in myself, or anyone, cannot heal anybody, just like they can't make that light up their light. The only thing we can do is believe God in obedience to His word and flip the switch. We have a power to flip that switch. What is the switch? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The promises that God has given us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and has given us the Holy Spirit to be able to flip that switch, to lay hands on the sick, and God's nuclear power plant of the Holy Spirit is there to actually create and facilitate the healing. And so that was kind of what I was working through this morning as I was on my way to work. And I'd like to read something. Can I read something?
Yes, you can, Ryan.
I was reading some stuff about John G. Lake's ministry. I'd like to read a letter John Lake wrote a missionary friend of his in 1911 when he was in South Africa. And I'm sure that Michael knows, is familiar with this letter. But John Lake was he went to the Azusa Street thing where God poured out the Holy Spirit there. He went to the Azusa Street to find out what this baptism of the Holy Spirit was. And in fact, he stayed there for a while and then he left and he returned back to Zion, Illinois, which was the city or community that John Alexander, is that his name? John Alexander Dowie. Yes, John Alexander Dowie. And if you read anything about John Alexander Dowie in the beginning of the 1900s, late 1800s, he is instrumental in bringing back the bringing to light the healing ministries that John G. Lake picked up on and defined and refined, I might say. And when John Lake came back from California, from the Azusa Street happening there. He came back to Zion and he actually received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Zion under John Alexander Dowie. However, Dowie did not believe in it. He did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But once John Lake received the baptism, I believe it was 6 months or 9 months. I think it was 6 months later. Him and his family were on a boat going to South Africa to win the lost. And I think Michael's talked about some of the, situations. He went and he was broke, and God told him to go. He went when he was on the boat itself, and they landed in South Africa. He needed $125 in order to get off of the boat. And God told him to go stand in the line, getting ready to get off the boat. And somebody, a lady, came up, I believe, and handed him $125, told him that God had just told her to give it to him. So he's able to get off the boat, and et cetera, et cetera. And there's a whole, story behind that, right? Well, anyway, when John Lake was in, he wrote back to this Mrs. Carrie Judd Montgomery in Oakland, and again, I think, processed information and stories and testimonies and whatever, and kept it up in track with missionaries all over the world, etc. But here's the letter that he wrote her: "Dear Sister in Christ, enclosed, find some letters with incidents, etc., of what the Lord is doing among us. Reverend Stevenson has arranged for two of us with a friend for the circulation of the letter which you find enclosed. I regard it as a striking example of the force with which this gospel comes to people of open mind, and was pleased to have a man of his caliber working concerning the work. Of course, he viewed the work on a day when the Spirit of God was moving mightily. It was an extraordinary day. Therefore, it is only fair to say that all of our meetings do not have the same degree of power that was in that one. However, we praise God that he was moving strong and steady and clearly. I am reminded to write you, though, through the reading of Mrs. Anderson's testimony as it appears in the Triumph of Faith." Hold on just a second. I'm sorry. I haven't a copy of the letter I wrote some time ago to a missionary by the name of Hoover at Valparaiso, Chile, on the subject of divine healing, which embodies what I regard as the secret of the aggressive ministry of healing that the Pentecostal movement of South Africa demonstrates. I do not know that I will be able to send you a copy of that letter at this time, but at my earliest convenience, we'll have a copy prepared and sent to you. I feel, sister, that there is a step in this ministry in advance of what the Pentecostal movement in general enjoys. And God has laid it deeply on my soul to present this particular phase of the exercise of the dominion of Jesus Christ, and that the secret of our success here in this ministry is in our teaching our workers to exercise the dominion of God through the Holy Ghost, and that He has already put in their soul when He baptized them. While in other branches of this work, they still follow largely the old line of intercession for the sick. We do not pray for God to come and heal as in the old days, but looking into His face, believing that He has baptized us in the Holy Ghost, and that we have received the power of God through that baptism, command in the name of Jesus the devil and his work to depart. Nevertheless, dear sister, there are instances when God puts a spirit of real intercession, even for the sick, upon you. I am convinced that there is a secret and better place of interceding for the sick in exercising a dominion of God over the devil and his sicknesses that, when learned by the Pentecostal movement, will put the ministry of healing miles in advance of where it is now. His name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. That's obviously a quote out of Acts. Such as I have, I give thee. Ananias, Jesus maketh thee whole. We have never caught the force of Jesus's words. Proclaim liberty to the captive. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It was through the healing of a young man in Detroit, Michigan, in your faith home at Buffalo, that my interest for this ministry was first captured. And then he says, it was not until many years afterward when, through the teachings of John Alexander Dowie, that I really grasped the thing, so that the knowledge of the ministry became vital or living. And it was only after I had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that the dominion of God entered into my soul that compelled me to command sickness and the devil to leave rather than to intercede with the Lord to take them away. John G. Lake, that was the end of the letter. So this is what I have been reading, studying, praying, learning, scraping the clouds away from, this, and trying to bring clarity to for myself. But I feel the need to that this is the point, this is the thing that is that God is at least working in my life. And I believe that I agree with John Lake that it is the transition or the thing that brings this into reality. It takes it out of the asking for it to be done over into the commanding it be done. It takes it out of, shall we say, out of God's responsibility and puts it over onto my responsibility to act. And, that is also based upon the fact that that God has already provided for our healing and the healing of everyone that needs it 2,000 years ago. By his stripes, we were healed. And so it's like God has already done his part. He's already sealed the deal. And in Corinthians, he's already said that the answers of his promises are yes. They're not maybe. They're not, I'll get around to it. I'll think about it. It's yes. The answers to his promises are yes. Therefore, the only responsibility is left in my lap to actually exercise that. In other words, I need, if I want to see the light shine, I got to get up and flip that switch on, whatever that means. And so, anyway, I'm that's all I had to say. I just wanted to throw that out and see what everybody's thinking on that.
Pat, the interesting thing about that is John Alexander wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. And as a matter of fact, there's some evidence that some of his people over in South Africa were responsible for Lake's wife's death. So I don't know. I've heard that from some people that probably know. So anyway, Nellie didn't speak in tongues, but the time that Lake was filled with the Holy Ghost, y'all remember that, don't you? He was been praying for months and months and months, and he walked down the street, "Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit." And then one day, I forget the guy's name. You know it instantly if I told you who he was. I can't remember his name right now, but I'll remember in a minute. Anyway, ask him to go with him to pray for his rheumatic lady, old lady. He said, "Sure, I'll go with you." And so they went over there, and he said he was sitting down, kind of off away, and he said, all of us, and the Lord had told him some time back, said, "I will fill you at such and such area or such and such time." And he didn't give us a specific time, but he did tell him in an area of time. Anyway, he was sitting there, and he said, all of a sudden, it felt like streams of rain, glory rain was going through his body from the top of his head, and it just come on down, came all the way through his body. And he said it was just the glory of God. He couldn't hardly stand it. It was so awesome, you know. And he said, and as this other man, Thomas Hemp, oh God, almost had it. Anyway, the other guy was praying for this lady that had the rheumatoid arthritis is what it was. And Lake said if I, he knew if he touched her that Islam would have just, just hurt her because of the glory that was coming off of him, the power that was coming off of him. And he said he thought about, well, maybe if I just touched her with my finger. Hezmakala was just, I think that's about right, some close to that was the guy's name. And he was down on his knees and he was praying for this girl and had his hand, this lady had his hand on her ankle or something like that. And Lake said, when I touched that lady with my finger, with this power of God going through me, it said it knocked Thomas plumb across the room And the lady was just jumped up and hollered because she was instantly healed. And it was an awesome testimony. If you're reading that book by Robert Lear about John G. Lake, it's in that book. Awesome testimony of his infilling of the Holy Spirit. It was awesome. Yeah, I will too, Judy. I'll have a touch of that myself. Lord, I just ask that you fill us all. Glory to God, just fill us, every one of us, with your Holy Spirit, with the power of the Son of God going through us, Lord. And I praise you. The power of the Holy Spirit going through us, Lord. And I praise you, Lord, that when we touch somebody, the healing is already done. In Jesus' name, that it knocks them to their feet, completely healed. Praise God forevermore. That's awesome. That's an awesome testimony, Pat, about his infilling. A lot of good stories about
So,
Lake. Go ahead.
Michael, there's it's interesting. When I was when you look at healing as when you look at like a disease, let's just say a cold, and you say that that cold is in order for it, and that cold has a certain resistance to health. It is resisting health. There's a certain resistance there, a number. And the amount of resistance, like I was talking about the light, the amount of resistance that is there actually determines the amount of power coming through it, because it resists the power of the nuclear power plant. It resists all the rest and only takes what it needs. And basically that's the law of electronics, electrical Ohm's law or whatever. But the interesting thing is, though that resistance limits the amount of power that will flow through it, if you want more power to flow through it, there's two things you can do. You can lower the resistance there, or you can increase the voltage, the power source at the other end. And by increasing the power source, the magnitude of that power, it forces more power through that resistance. And makes the light brighter, shall we say. Okay, so if you have a cold, that takes a certain amount of power to heal it. If you have a sprained ankle, it may take more power to heal it. If you have cancer or a disease or something like that, it'll take even more power. So that resistance that pushes back because of those various different illnesses and diseases, they establish that resistance, which hinders the flow of power to it. So what, how does the healing happen then? Well, I believe the healing happens because the power of the Holy Spirit, God, is unlimited in his potential. If he needs to crank it up to 50 megawatts, it's no big deal because he is the potential. Whatever the resistance or the disease or the or whatever the illness that's on the other end of that, it doesn't matter what level of disease it is. It's all dealt with the same way. And the one that deals with it is the power source, and he applies whatever power is necessary to correct the problem, to heal the disease. He's the source. The disease is the end thing that's getting repaired. And what are we doing? We're flipping the switch. And so I am asking the Lord to show me how to flip the switch in the way Pat understands, the way I can apply it, whatever that means. I don't, I'm open to anything, but I want God to show, God showed John Lake how to flip the switch. The gentleman that God raised up to talk to him about him before Curry, God has used Curry to define or refine even what John Lake started. And that what I read to you tonight was an excerpt out of one of his books. So, absolute 100% healing is what God has provided us to apply and utilize and function in. I'm absolutely convinced, but I need to know for myself how to flip that switch. So, and I believe everything else is God's ability to apply the necessary power to get the necessary job done. And I have to remind myself, I didn't make this stuff up. I didn't tell myself to, I think I'm going to get up. I'm going to go out to all the world. I'm going to lay hands on the sick. No, that was Jesus that commanded us to do that. He's the one that did it. And he demonstrated it. So, I mean, I'm getting kind of excited in the sense that God, the Lord is taking me from wherever I'm at in my mentality, in my thinking, in my faith, and opening up my eyes to these things. And even though I feel like I am ill prepared for this type of process, but I know that the Lord has the ability to put clarity of understanding and clarity of faith so that it is a rest instead of a battle or whatever. That's where I want to be. I believe God is bringing us all there, because it's not something that's magic. When Michael was right, when John Alexander Dowie, who is really the foundations of the healing process and bringing healing back into the church, was really what God used him for, to bring those foundations back in. And again, he wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. He wasn't filled with the Spirit of God, and he may have been functioning in an old covenant mindset. It doesn't matter. God chooses the things that he wants brought out into the Christian mindset. There's certain things that he wants brought out, and I'm not going to say that he ignores the weaknesses of those that he uses, but we are all earthen vessels with failures and faults. But if God wants to bring out a specific point, he will use a person to do that and ignore. I'm not going to say ignore, I don't know how to say it. He's not going to focus on the failures of that person. He's going to focus on the what he's trying to get out, and the message that he's bringing out, and that he's driving that person to bring out. And so, it behooves us as disciples of the Lord, I think, to be willing to, in the example of the six blind men, trying to describe the elephant, it behooves us to listen to various different people that the Lord brings into your life. And as the saying goes, take the meat and spit out the bones. We're all earthen vessels. We all have the Holy Spirit. He's guiding us all into truth. And so he will use various avenues of truth in order to make that happen within each and every one of us. So anyway, I don't know how I got off on that, but praise the Lord.
Amen.
He's doing something.
Pat, one of the things that I learned about healing was watching somebody else do it. That's what I did to start out with. I ran around with a guy from down the county here, down at Searcy, that was a pharmacist of all things, and he's the one that healed me when we were in Mardell's bookstore, and I tagged along with him for about 8 months and watched his saw and did just like he did, and was very successful at it. The thing that I found out was this: is that if somebody gets healed in a crowd, most generally you pray for everybody in that crowd, they're gonna get healed because their faith is boosted up 1,000% by watching you pray for somebody or commanding healing into somebody. We don't pray for, as Lake, you probably read about Lake. He doesn't pray for healing in, after he found out about it, that he commands this. He commands healing into somebody, commands the demons to go. But boy, it's a lot of fun out there on the streets watching people get healed, watching babies get healed, watching kids get healed. It's more fun to be in a church setting when one person gets healed and everybody else jumps up and goes up there to get healed, and they get healed also. That's a lot of fun, man. Boy, you just have a blast seeing it. And then you talk about it for 2 or 3 hours after that, you know, and it gets them pumped up. That's the way Curry works. Curry teaches you to have faith that you'll just go out there and do it, and God will follow you. He'll follow you. And he knows that you want that. You'll do it. You'll see people heal. You'll see healings done that you never thought possible. Deformed legs straightened up. All kinds of deformed arms. People in wheelchairs coming out of them. People that were deaf coming back to hearing, and all of those kind of great and wonderful things that happen. People that have babies that had something wrong with them, and you pray with them, and you can hand them back to their mama, completely healed. You know, that's the best part. It's awesome. It really is. It's awesome. And I wish I could had a chance to do more of it, because I loved it when I was out on the street. It was awesome. The thing about it is, most church settings, there's a lot of doubt and unbelief. A lot of doubt and unbelief. Especially mainline denominational churches. I don't care whether it's Pentecostals or whatever. For some reason, they have a lot of doubt and unbelief and don't know that God will heal, you know, if it's his will to heal a lot of times. And but once you show them, once you do have somebody that gets healed in their deal by God, your faith should be that you go in there in any setting. Well, our faith should be that anytime we go in any setting, God's going to be with you. And we just trust God to follow through with everything that he said in his word. And when you do that, God. Excuse me, I had to quiet my daughter. Anyway, where was I? But in any setting, all we have to remember is that we trust God to fulfill what he said in his book, and he'll do it every time. That's it. It's just a trust. Do you trust God? Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody said, yeah, I trust God. Okay, do you trust God to use you in the healing ministry? Well, I don't know about that. Now, I don't know if, you know, God wants to use me or not. They start mumbling around there. The thing to do is just get out there. That's what Curry does the best. He just encourages people to get out and do it. Be a doer of the word rather than a hearer of the word. And that's how he gets so many healings done. It's people getting encouraged. They said, okay. And they see somebody up there, that somebody will pray for somebody and they get healed. They say, shoot, I can do that. And then you go out and get somebody healed. Then you get somebody, want somebody else healed. Then you get somebody else healed. And the next thing you know, you're in the healing ministry. And it's not to glorify you. It's to glorify Jesus. It's to glorify God. You're just a vessel that he uses, that is available to be used. That's the way he sees it. Look at Pat out there. Glory to God. Father, look at Pat. Yeah, I see. What you going to do with it? Well, as soon as he goes pay somebody, they're going to get healed. Glory to God, they're going to get healed. And then Pat sees somebody get healed, and bless God, he's off on the road. He's going to have a healing revival in somewhere in Pennsylvania, everywhere he's at. Glory to God. Right there in a bunch of blue states, you know. That'd be awesome. That would be awesome. Lord, if God got a bunch of transgenders out there walking around, somebody's walking around with a crippled arm or something, he said, hey, brother or sister, ever what you call yourself, come here. And then talk to them and tell them God, did you know God could heal you? Ah, somebody told me that. I don't believe it. Well, let me show you, because God can heal you. And if I show you that God will heal you, will you listen to me about who did it? He said, I don't believe he can do it. Well, would you believe he could do it if he did it? Yeah, I would do that. Well, would you believe and would you start following him if he did do it? Well, of course I would. And then you pray for them, they get healed, and they've turned to Jesus and gotten out of that garbage. First thing I do is just cast off the demons off of him. Cast them off, and then, Father, I thank you for healing him. He's already healed. I command this arm to straighten out or the legs to straighten up or whatever it is. It makes no difference. It doesn't make any difference to God. He'll heal anything, anything and anybody. And I'd love to see a transgender get healed. That would just do, and then him tear off his dress and getting some blue jeans and going back to being what he's supposed to be, and giving out the gospel to the LGBTQRTS, whatever, Wouldn't that be awesome? I think it would. Yeah, Missy.
I believe that in coming days, people are going to repent of that's actually had gone through surgery and everything. The Lord's going to fix them, going to put them back the way they were born, the way they were supposed to be, and just that delivered from those demons that.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Won't be no more pink hair either, will it? No blue hair, no pink hair, no green hair, none of that garbage. It'll just be Jesus. They go around with a smile on their face and they want to be grabbing somebody and praying for them themselves. That's what happened to me. I'm not saying I was in the transgender movement at all. I wasn't. Don't y'all get no kind of thoughts that I was. But I, I did get healed. And when I got healed, I knew God could heal. And once you understand that God can heal, then you want somebody else to get healed. Then you want someone else to get healed. What are y'all looking at? All right. I'll hush. Thank you,
Reagan
Jesus.
Posted something that she's seen a few repent of it and posted online.
Really? Let's see about that. I don't guess I saw it. It must have been in Signal.
I was thinking of a I guess it fits the age or the the time of history where we're at. But I was thinking about in World War II, there was in World War II, there was the situation of men going off to war, and the wives and mothers more or less had to take up the slack and fulfill, raise families where the husband and the fathers were, sons were gone to war type thing. And that kind of set a precedent, I think, in our society and changed some things. I think it brought in an environment conducive to men, the leadership subsiding. leading and the women, mothers, taking up a stronger role in the society in society, I'm going to say. And in the 60s, and 70s, what am I going to say, the women's lib movement, and the that whole flow really started, I believe, in the 60s and 70s. So there is that influence on, and this was worldwide. And then a massive breakdown to a certain degree of morality in the late 60s, 70s, 80s, where really the quote alternate lifestyle, and you had homosexuality and bisexuality and all this was being released upon on society, so to speak. And this was really in my generation. This whole mentality or passivity or allowing everything to, just do what everything wants to do type thing. Anybody can do whatever they want, they make their own law type of thing. And this rebellion and kind of dismantling of the structure, societal structure, kind of took place and started in those days, in the 60s, 70s. And so what we are experiencing today is that we are, reaping the whirlwind of what has, was started and allowed to take place then in my generation, or my, when I was a kid. So what it has led to now, I think, is this massive confusion of people. There's this confusion aspect, where people are, not sure how to deal with their desires and influences, family influences, and all kinds of things that are happening there. And who would have ever thought that a transgender, movement or issue would be even a thing? But here we are in our day and age right now, and it's here and it's dealing with. That being said, it's going to take a gospel that is a powerful, working, releasing, delivering, healing gospel that will be required in order to touch these people and bring, it's like the wave of the black wave has rolled over the world, and it's going to take, God to raise up a standard of Jesus and present to them in order to overcome that dark wave. So praise the Lord. I believe he's doing exactly that in our day and age. So thank you, Jesus. We must have lost Michael.
I'm sorry, I had to get my, had to do something. Okay, I heard everything you said, Pat. But anyway, thank you, Jesus.
You want me to read another story?
Boy, that'd be great.
This is the testimony of Give me just a second. Okay. This was evidently a story that John Lake, I believe, to told to Gordon Lindsay, maybe. Gordon Lindsay, this is all stuff that I just learned by reading this and listening to, Curry speak, but Gordon Lindsay evidently was the founder of the of a faith ministry someplace in Texas. Well, I'm not going to get into that. It doesn't really matter. It tells a story. It is an underestimate to say. To say that the ministry of John G. Lake was unusual. Underestimate, I would think an understatement. But anyway, he possessed the remarkable ability to create faith in his hearers. Ministers who sat under him soon found that they too had a ministry of faith that resulted in healings of a most startling character. Since it was impossible for Dr. Lake to minister personally to the great numbers that sought his services, he usually had a band of lay ministers and workers laboring with him to answer calls to which he was unable to attend. One of the writer's first memories of a healing was that of a woman who was instantly healed as a result of the prayers of one of Dr. Lake's ministers. The woman was a Mrs. Watts, wife of a prominent officer of a local church. This woman had become seriously ill, excuse me. And the physicians decided that her only hope was an immediate operation. The cost of the proposed operation was well beyond the family's financial resources at the time. However, in desperation, the husband went to a local bank and arranged for a loan to pay the cost of the operation. In the meantime, the writer's mother, who had great faith in divine healing, felt a burden to pray for the family. She went to the sick woman and encouraged her to believe God for healing. Her church had taught against divine healing, and in fact, the woman herself had not taken any interest in this teaching. But as is often the case, when the desperate illness or death faces one, they are inclined to alter their views. The lady consented that prayer should be offered for her healing. Mother then took the next train to Portland in hope of getting Dr. Lake to come and pray for the woman. However, when she arrived there, he was not available, and as the need was urgent, Mother requested that one of the other ministers go. The good brother who went did not have much of a knowledge of social amenities. In fact, he was a rather rough and ready preacher, hardly to be distinguished for his ministerial polish. But his faith in God was strong, and though he had acquired a rather brusque, unceremonious manner of dealing with the sick, it produced results, even though his mannerisms sometimes offended people of fastidious tastes. When Mother and this preacher arrived at the home of the sick woman and had opportunity to observe her critical condition, he lost no time in telling her that the sickness was the work of the devil. After giving the woman some instructions, he proceeded to rebuke the illness with a loud, booming voice that carried through the whole house. Then, rather roughly, he told the woman that she was healed and for her to get out of bed. The lady at first hesitated to do this, but shortly, afraid to disobey, she did as she was told and arose from her bed to discover to her great joy that she was made whole. The pastor of the local church was at that time very much opposed to this ministry. This miracle was the first step in convincing him of the reality. Eventually, he became convinced of its scriptural foundation and received a notable healing himself. Incidentally, the banker who had loaned the money for the proposed operation was startled indeed a few days afterward to see the husband come back to the bank and return the money. It was a testimony which caused many in the community to wonder and take note. Such were the methods used and the result obtained that gave the work of John G. Lake the prominence that it has achieved. End of story.
Thanks, Pat. Hey, I saw something on X just recently. There's something we can pray about. There's another airline, American Airlines flight that caught fire in Denver, Colorado, Denver International. I don't know any details on it, just citing flames and people having an emergency exit onto the aircraft's wings. Or at least one wing anyway, so it means they weren't able to use the norm. They couldn't pull up to a terminal where you exit. So anyhow, Father, I just pray for these numerous, it seems like numerous aircraft events with fires and explosions and crashes and that kind of thing, Father. And we just pray that for people, Lord, who are traveling, for their safety, first of all, God, and I pray also that you would protect yours. Ask, Lord, that you would reveal if there's a connection with all this to deep state and expose it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But we send the angels to make sure that these aircraft do not take, we don't lose, that there's no loss of life in these things, because so far, I don't think, other than that one in, gosh, where was that? New York? I don't think anyone else has died in these incidences. So I thank you and praise you for that. And I pray, Lord, that these things stop in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for your grace and more grace, Lord, in keeping these flights safe when they when people travel to go somewhere, Lord, that they're expecting to land safely, take off and land safely, and to get to their destinations. So I thank you, Lord, for bringing down this wickedness and these attacks on these aircrafts and trying to put fear into people or whatever their agenda is. Any kind of false flag events, we bind all that, we cast it down. All terrorism, we cast that down in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty over all these things. In Jesus' name. If anyone else wants to add to that or knows anything about that. Thank you, Lord. You can pray. Thank you, Lord.
I'm back for a little short while. I'm sorry about this. I'm trying to get my wife to bed. How y'all doing? What's up? Was the latest tale? Y'all ain't talking. Okay. I see how you Oh, my. Well, I'll be going back to Tennessee tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Be there in time for the meeting tomorrow night. Okay, I gotta go. Y'all take it over. Pat, Andrew, all y'all take it over. Just give me about 5 minutes. I'll be right back.
Anybody got a song? You can play a song. Oh, wait, I don't have share permissions. Never mind. Never mind that idea. Unless someone wants to sing.
You can always sing, Julie.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I'm not. I haven't practiced my music voice much today, so. Andrew, you feel like singing? No? Okay. Go ahead, Anna.
Well, we prayed locally here for my niece on Wednesday. My niece Tasha, some of you guys remember her. She couldn't get anyone in her family to take her to the doctor, and she had this horrible throat, sore throat, like strep throat or something, and no one would take her to the doctor. Of course, you know, we pray, but she's not there yet. And neither is anyone in her family. So we prayed, and my sister went ahead and took her to the doctor finally, so she was really glad because she wasn't able to like swallow anything. So that was a praise report because that's what we prayed, that someone would take her. But now she's kind of they couldn't diagnose her between mono and strep, and so they this just sounds crazy, but they gave her these medications and said, "Take it. If it clears up, it's strep. If it doesn't, if you get a rash, it's mono." And I thought that sounds crazy, but anyways, so Lord, I know that you're the healer, Lord, but I just pray, Father, that this clears up with this medication and it does not give her a rash, Lord. Even before the medication, Father, Lord, you are able to do it. And I just bind up this incompetence or misdiagnosis or whatever it is. It's not going to harm Tasha in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, she's healed. I thank you, Lord, for giving her relief, the ability to get something down, the ability to sleep. And just some relief and healing. And I thank you, Lord, that this is not going to be her getting the wrong medicine and causing worse problems in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for protecting Tasha, Lord, from all the pharmakia and any kind of effects it would have on her body. And Lord, use this opportunity to draw her, even to for herself. You know, it's like, to see it, Lord, open up her eyes to see it, that the medical industry cannot help her and that you're the answer. Lord, I pray that for Tasha. I pray that for all our family members and loved ones, God, that they would see that you are the answer. Even these people who have gone through these last few years now with taking a lot of them taking the vaccine and stuff, and what they are learning about it. Some people are learning about it, Lord, and that they would their eyes would be open, Lord, and there would be repentance and turning to you, God, to be healer. I thank you, Lord, for protecting the people we've prayed for. A lot of people, Lord, they're still here, they're still with us, and they don't seem to have any, real serious, at least me personally, I can say people I know that have taken it don't have any real serious side effects or, curses on that, but, things could still manifest. And, I just thank you, Lord, for protecting them. You're showing such grace and mercy on our families, Lord, who do things, we all do things in ignorance, Father, and I just thank you for what you're going to do and bringing light to these situations, Lord, and prepare hearts, God, for what's going to be exposed here soon, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Benita. You can put your hand down because I don't have control.
Hi, everyone. I was just going to receive that prayer that you just said for my mom. She just recently has gone to the doctor and they did all her blood work and her cholesterol was like a 280 or something. And so they wanted to put her on cholesterol medicine and blood pressure medicine. And so I tried to talk her out of it. And she just is. Basically, it's just a fear thing, What if I don't take it and I get a stroke? What if? Just this fear. So I just bind up that fear in my mom and that she would just have faith. Just I know she's not there yet, but Lord, I'm just going to pray for her that she would have my faith to overcome this fear and overcome just this need to listen to what the doctors say, which we know is misleading a lot of times, just like for your niece there. So Lord, we just bind that all up and we just give her strength and her cholesterol isn't even actually that high really in the scope of things, but we just even just command that to just come into line and really it's just to binding up the fear in her, Lord, and just casting that out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hey, Benita, I read somewhere, maybe it was on social media somewhere, on X or something, but that the cholesterol, what they're saying is high cholesterol isn't dangerous and it's not bad. But you might want to look that up yourself because I had heard that. It's just another, what do you want to call it, a gimmick, a way for the pharmaceutical companies to, make you take any kind of pharmacia for it, a medicine, and plus it puts you on restrictive diets, and that's saying I know that they're saying eggs are really high in cholesterol, but it's good cholesterol. Eggs have gotten a bad rep. It's like one of the perfect foods to eat, but they say it's because it's high in cholesterol. They can't, but it's bad for you and stuff. So I'm just encouraging you to look it up for yourself online. See if you can. If I can find something, I'll send it to you. But I'm pretty sure that
Okay.
heard that cholesterol. High cholesterol is not a bad thing.
No, and I've read a lot about it too. And I mean, we
Okay.
all need cholesterol for our brains and for so many functions in our cells. And I was just reading today that it was like in the 20s that this cholesterol was like at 320 for people, and that was normal. It would they had, according to the test, they had high cholesterol, but that was just normal and that was healthy. So I've told all that to my mom and try to encourage her to watch some things that are different than what the mainstream tells us. There's a lot of good information about cholesterol out there. So, but she's got that fear, that fear spirit. That's what's guiding her.
Well, it's
So,
gone because you commanded it to go, so it has to go in the name of Jesus.
amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
And with you, I thank you, Lord, for giving. I always command all that confusion off of her too, in the name of Jesus, and all the deceptions that the enemy's putting on people and on Benita's mom. And Lord, we just cast all that down. And what the Food and Drug Administration, what the government's done, the health, the whole healthcare industry and the medical has done to twist and pervert everything to get them in bondage. We just break that all off of them in the name of Jesus. We cast down their lies. And I thank you, Lord, for exposing all of that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. You're awesome. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone read anything in the Word today you wanted to share about? I know you're all on the Word today at some point. It's our bread. I'll share something, I guess. I was in John 10 today, the scripture that kind of jumped out at me. I had a recent conversation with a sister. My little sister. She's we had a conversation about being saved and how do you know if you're saved or not, how do you know you're saved, but people who claim that they're saved, you know, but then eventually they find they're not saved. And then her argument was something like, well, then they were never really saved. And it's like, have you ever run that come across people who say that, well, then they were never really saved if they, you know, if they weren't saved. They
All
didn't
time.
think they were saved. How do you answer that? And they say, well, they never really were saved then. They don't want to admit that you can lose your salvation. People can lose because they do lose their salvation because not everyone is saved and will
Well,
continue.
it's hard to talk to stupid. It really is. They
Well, they're
don't
demons
believe.
now. They're just their
Yeah.
theology or their doctrine or something they've heard, you know, and
They
anyhow.
believe it. It's the same way with one saved, always saved. Go ahead, Andrew. You have to give them scripture.
Well, on that topic, yeah, I've heard that before by some people, but I was wondering if we can go to the place where Jesus leaves the 99 and goes looks for that one again.
Yeah, I
You
shared
know,
that.
that's something. Or that person, the woman who had the silver pieces and lost one and swept out the whole house, and she's got to look for that extra one silver piece there, which is right below that one, you know, the
Yeah.
99,
Yeah.
and she's sweeping out the whole house to look for that that treasure that's supposed to be in our heart, you know, that parable of finding the pearl of great price and then the buried treasure in the next one after that, you know, because some people are, you know, coming to that place where they're going to be that prodigal son, and it's because I think of the lack of giving a defense for people when they get saved. They have no defense, and they say things like, oh, you'll be lucky to get 2, 3.5 years out of these people. That's not a good saying. That's not a good testimony for some of these churches who, when a person gets saved, you know. They don't think that they should just maybe investigate themselves that are in the pulpits to give them that Luke, maybe
She okay?
Luke, Luke, where it says, I give you the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. No, no power for this kid who has no idea of, and it's with even grown-ups too. They have no understanding of the authority that they can attain in Christ. They don't have Luke 10, 19 and 20. They don't have 2 Corinthians of the imagination to be cast down. That's against the knowledge of God. You know, they give them both and they get them all confused, you know. It's if you have the ability to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ, you have to take that with you when you're going to fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold of eternal life. That's part of your imagination, the imagination that you were called to by the Almighty God. You know, and they need help. Everybody needs help to overcome these myriad of sayings that are in the church, you know, and they're speaking negatively against the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, against the baptism, you know. If you got to go read Romans 6, read Romans. I ran into a guy in the bus stop there a long time ago, and I told him the one thing I don't like to hear is when preachers say, oh, you're just a sinner saved by grace, or the only thing you can ever hope to be is a sinner, so just be happy you're saved and get on with your life. Or there's the guy that's in your, he's saying this from the pulpit, you know, that there could have been a brand new saved person, and now he's going to get, what? Get to be a sinner. No, you're free from sin, you know. And they do this a lot, you know. There's the deny the master who bought them. And he's a preacher from the pulpit. So that's just sick in the head sometimes. I don't know what it is. And, you know, and I don't know, maybe these preachers lay so much a burden on themselves, they just forget things. So to be fair to them, they better get some of these traveling evangelists into their churches to get that next generation saved or something. I don't know what to do. They got to figure something out because they're taking on the fivefold ministry as one person.
I think God's going to change it around. He's the one that's going to change it around.
You know, if there's one thing you can learn from your president, he's a no-nonsense guy.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on a similar parallel to that. When God wants to deal with you, and you know, sometimes, you know, if you get complacent and you get to that place where, oh, I don't know if God's going to, like, everyone struggles through things. You got to hunker down. Sometimes you need a little bit of help. And you know, the Lord's your helper. So you got to go to him. What's the verse say there about seeking help from the Lord? Over there in Hebrews somewhere. But the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, it's that verse somewhere there. And if he's your helper, he's your helper. He's your father. He's the Almighty God. And you have to press in. You have to fight that good fight of the faith and lay hold of eternal life, whereunto you were called. Don't you remember the first day of your calling, your first love? And that's the love, the obedience that God helped you so much with. You were amazed and excited and everything, you know, and that's the life. That's coming to life. That's the baby coming. You got to smack them and they come to life, you know, and that's it, man. It's they're crying, yeah, but, you know, Does the husband, you better, does the husband in the room now gonna go knock out the doctor for spanking his baby? No. See what these doctors get away with, man? They spank babies and they're not the first thing in the world, too, you know. Oh, I would hate to have that job, you know. I'm glad I was a printer. I don't have to smack babies as soon as they come into the world. Anyway, praise and glory to God for the cry of life from people, for the cry of life and the life everlasting and the life renewed and the life revived. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for changing all of these denominational churches around to the truth of the gospel. And we praise you, Father, for opening up their spiritual eyes and ears to hear the true gospel, Lord. You know, I remember Howard, what's his name's testimony, and I often wondered how many denominations are sent to hell because of their anti-Christian beliefs. You know, the belief of once saved, always saved, the belief that you don't have to quit sinning. You just have to live under God's grace all the time. Those kind of things there, and just on and on and on and on. And then when he went, you remember when he went to heaven or wanted in, the Lord, and they told him, no, let me show you where you're headed. Took him down to hell, took him all through hell, gave him a grand tour. And then sent him back to tell the folks what the truth is. First thing he wanted to do, yeah, Howard Pittman. First thing he wanted to do when he got back was get filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't even believe about it before as a preacher. But Lord, I had all these fine buildings built. Lord, so that ain't done nothing to me. He wants the fruit of Jesus on us, don't he? And when we walk in the fruit of Jesus, we're going to look like Jesus. We're going to talk like Jesus. We're going to act like Jesus. And nothing or nobody is going to stop us. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be everything for Jesus. God is sovereign. He can do anything. He can. If you're in trouble, just believe him. Just believe him. Just call on him. If you need help, just believe him. You need strength. Just say, Lord, I need some strength. You need to help me. He'll give it to you. That quick. What are y'all looking at? Anyway, anybody got anything they'd like to add? I believe we're fixing to see something wide open in the spiritual realm. When God brings this man-child ministry on, it's over for the bad guys. It's over. Not going to be any willy, and not going to be any dilly-dallying around. What are y'all doing? Somebody putting something funny on the chat. Anyway, Lord, I thank you for the times that are coming. That's going to wake a lot of folks up. Thank you for this time ahead that the people that are going to come into the kingdom are going to be awesome men and women of God. And it's not going to be that they're a mighty man or a mighty woman of God. It's going to be that they're a person that has a mighty God in them. And that's what's going to do it. It's the mighty God in them that does the work. Praise God. I can already see that there's going to be a what is that word? A great awakening. Isn't that what they call it? A great awakening. And I'll be so glad. I went by, I'll just tell you, I went by the big church out there on I-40 in North Little Rock. That is a huge, huge church. I've been in that church back years ago when they had a so-called camp meeting. I think that's what they called it, a camp meeting. And it was pretty, man, the music was great. Great. It was so awesome, man. I just loved it. And I was sitting there and I was praising God. And then they stopped, and then the preacher went to preaching, and all he could do was talk about other preachers and other denominations and things like that. And I said, oh, my gracious. I got up, started to leave. One of the elders, I guess, came back. Where are you going? I said, I got to go. He said, "Well, maybe we can set you in a better cell." I was sitting up in the balcony, which was fine with me. I didn't care until the preacher started knocking everything, knocking everybody, and I said, "Whoop! I got to get out of here." And they took a couple of them tried to stop me and wanted to know what the problem was. I said, "Well, I just feel like I need to leave." Yeah, they tried to, but anyway, I just walked that on out. I saw people driving up in big, wonderful, expensive cars and gowns and things like that. Yeah, these people had money. And walking in and showing out, you know, and it was, I was amazed. I was really amazed that the praise and worship was so great. It was awesome. Y'all would have jumped up and down with me. Because I was having a great time in there. People were free. They always get you filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's great. That's awesome. I think it's one of those kind of churches like David used to go to. And anyway, but the man that was in charge that was speaking just kind of throw the damper on everything. Okay, what about it, y'all? We're gonna see a good revival coming up. That's right.
So everything was okay until he opened his mouth, huh?
The preacher opened his mouth and everything was bad, you know. Oh, this one over here is doing this, and you need to shut the TV off, which I agreed with that. And all just all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And that was back when it was in the little part of the big church. Then they built one twice as big as the one that they had that was big before. I remember what Howard Pittman said. Remember what he said? He said, "But Lord, I built all them fine little buildings for you know, and all that stuff." He said, "No, you built it for yourself." He said, "Let me show you where you're headed." I don't want that, do y'all? I don't want that at all.
So I would recommend, in the future, if you ever go to one of those churches, stay out of the balcony.
Yeah,
Because when they go to
absolutely.
throw you out,
Yeah.
you want to be on the
Oh,
ground.
yeah, you want to be on ground floor because that was a big church. It was even the small part of the church was great big. And then they built one twice as big as that one right beside it. They spent all their money on the church building. But anyway, I'm not trying to criticize them. I'm just trying to criticize them. That's all. And if I name the denomination, you know who I'm talking about. Do we have to have tongues to know we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit? No, any of the gifts should be utilized when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people, I've heard people have prophetic messages after they get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I've heard them interpret tongues before after they got filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's not indication. It's probably one of the main ones that is, Josie, that is evident of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have any. It's a lot of people have tongues when they first. That's what they always try to get you to do. But whatever comes to mind, I've seen them come out with a prophetic message, you know, before. Seen them interpret tongues before. That's what was asked in the chat there. Do we have to have tongues to know we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Yes, tongues are very important. the tongues is probably one of the most important of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. Because it, go ahead.
To desire, desire the spiritual gifts.
Yeah, yes.
You know, and to desire a lot of them, you know, to operate in tongues, to operating in discerning of spirits and getting a word of knowledge.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of these words of knowledge came to people and even in the dark ages.
Yeah.
So
that's the part that I really like about it, is the healing and the words of knowledge. I like the tongues too. Yeah, it's good at work too, Ben. It really is. Okay, well, it looks like we're out of time. Father God, I just ask and I pray that your gifts will be in operation in all of us. And I thank you for that. All the gifts would be in operation. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Lord. All the gifts are important at the time that they're needed. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, that you have given us, made us available to us. And it's all to your doing, Lord. Not anything that we can do other than just believe. And we praise you for it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that place it in us to pray in tongues all the time. Everywhere we go, just pray in tongues. And I thank you, Father, for placing that in all of us to do that. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right, saints, we'll see you next time. God bless you. Hang on to Jesus. Amen. Amen.